Thank you. Thank you, indeed. It's just, it's a, been such a privilege and encouragement to receive so much support for all of you coming here today. I've received texts, too, from friends in California. I've gotten some texts from Indonesia, where we have some staff this week, and so many places. I especially want to thank those of you from the Madison community who have joined us, guests here today, from local churches and ministries. Thank you for being here. And again, thanks for our board members who are here, Ron, for Elizabeth, for Bill and Susan for being here. Thank you. And I especially want to thank my family for being here. I'm going to embarrass them in a minute here. Have them stand. Nancy, my wife, and then my girls, Abby and Olivia. Can you guys stand? Well, when I first received the invitation to serve as president, one of the first things I did was talk to my family. I actually called my dad up, and I didn't know how my dad would respond. We've actually had a up and down relationship over the years, and it's been a while since I asked him how he felt about InterVarsity, and so I shared with him and asked for his counsel. And I was shocked at his response. There was this big pause, and then he almost began weeping. And he said, "Tom, this is an honor, Tom. What an honor, Tom, to be asked." He said, "Never in my life could I have imagined that someone like you, like us," and I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And he began to share his story of being an immigrant to the U.S., coming here with nothing but the clothes on his back and not speaking a lick of English and coming here, and he could have never imagined that an Asian immigrant, an Asian person, would be invited to serve as the president. And that's where he was coming from. And he kept saying, "Tom, this is a big honor. I mean, you should do it, you know?" Well, then it was time to talk to my girls about it. And I remember Nancy and I figuring out what's the best way, strategizing. We decided, okay, we'll put them in the family room, sit them down, and then tell them we have something really big to share. And so we sat them down. We said, "Mom, Dad, we've got, Mom and Dad have something very important to share with you." We made this big deal out of it. And then finally I shared, and I'll never forget, Abby was the first to respond. She goes, "Oh, thank God." And she goes, you know, fist pump, "Yes," you know. And I said, "Why? Why is this so great?" And she said, "Well, it's because this means we don't have to move again." We had moved a lot over the years. And then we turned to Livy. "Livy, what do you think?" And she's crying. And she was crying. We said, "Livy, why are you crying?" She said, "I don't know why I'm crying." And then we said, "Are you sad?" She goes, "No, I'm happy." Well, I think Livy knew something of the honor of the moment, the honor to lead something she perceived to be important in the world, the honor to be part of something so instrumental in the lives of students. Nancy and I have been holding on to the word honor during these recent months. You know, it really is an honor to serve in the mission that has been so instrumental in my own faith journey. It's been an honor to serve alongside 1,600 gifted staff around the country. I mean, the quality of mission-minded staff in the field, in our camps, at IVP, in the NSC, it's unparalleled. I'm so honored to call many of you friends. It's an honor and extremely humbling to stand in the footsteps of those who have gone before me, mentors of mine like Steve Hayner and Alec Hill. And I want to give a special thank you also again to Jim Lundgren. Thank you, Jim, for stepping up and making sacrifices this year to lead us so well. Thank you. It's an honor to love students and faculty every day, to see lives transformed in our graduates, sometimes even decades later, whether it be from an IVP book they read 10 years ago, or from a Bible study in the Gospel of Mark they did 20 years ago, or from an Urbana conference they attended 30 years ago. Everywhere I go, I hear about the impact that InterVarsity has made. Just last week, I was in Korea, in Seoul, Korea, speaking at a missions conference. This is their Urbana-type conference. And my translators, his name was BJ. He was a Korean translator who had many offers to translate at other conferences that week. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, "I wanted to translate for you, Tom, because it's an honor to be associated with InterVarsity." He went on to share his story of how he studied abroad in the United States, and he came to Christ through the ministry of InterVarsity at University of Colorado Boulder. He shared how our campus staff worker there shared the gospel with him, and how he then committed his life to mission through Urbana 96. One of his most transformative moments in his life, he said, was crying through the communion service at Urbana. And I said, don't worry, that happens to a lot of people. And then he said, seeing so many Koreans mobilized into mission through Urbana has been so inspiring to him. It's an honor to love students like BJ every day. By God's grace, we've had a season of tremendous growth, serving record numbers of students and faculty in a record 1,000 chapters. We've seen unprecedented evangelistic fruitfulness in the last decade. More and more students are experiencing the love of Jesus and then sharing that with others, due in large part to your efforts. So thank you. Thank you. I count it a great honor to serve Christ and to serve all of you as the next president of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. Now, the other word I've been holding on to in these months is hope. Hope. In the midst of difficult challenges in a very difficult campus environment, we have real hope. In the midst of days when we want to hang it up in the office, or days when we're marginalized, maligned, or mistreated on campus, we have real hope. I remember the feeling of being rejected time and time again while planting a chapter in Boston. I remember the feeling of extreme weariness and loneliness while navigating a new culture in Mongolia. You know, Nancy and I would often turn to each other while we were there and say, honey, we have no friends. You know? I remember the feeling of the Holy Spirit working wonders in Mongolia, but fearing that the Spirit wouldn't work wonders in Madison or Missouri. Well, I want to remind us today that in the midst of weariness, all of us have hope. Hope in the Lord. I want us to reflect a little moment here on Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 to 31. I think this passage speaks to hope. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Now, using our good inductive Bible study skills here, we see one repeated word here four times in just these four verses. And that word is weary, weary. The context here is an exiled Israelite community in Babylon that was weary after captivity. Many had given up hope because they suffered in captivity. Many were marginalized, maligned, or mistreated. Many assumed that God disregarded them and didn't care about their plight. And they say that in verse 27 preceding this. I mean, did they have a future in this next season? Would God work again in their context? Could God work again in their context? Isaiah reminds us here, yes, yes, and yes. Isaiah affirms who God is. He is the everlasting God. He doesn't change. He is the creator of all things. He doesn't grow tired like you and me. He promises to give strength to those who are weary and suffering. And then in verse 31, we see the climax of this message of hope. Those who hope in the Lord shall experience a beautiful image of flourishing, soaring like eagles, running and walking. Those who hold to a confident, expectant faith will see God work wonders. Do we believe this? Verse 31 was a message of hope that I desperately needed during my first year on staff. I thought God had disregarded my situation. I thought he disregarded my difficult relationship with my parents at the time. I didn't have any hope for reconciliation. And to top it all off, I was burned out as I tried to get our new chapter off the ground. It was then that a fellow staff worker handed me a card with just one thing written in it. Verse 31, hope in the Lord. That staff worker happens to be here this morning, and her name is Nancy Lynn. This message of hope became ingrained in my staff journey. May it be ingrained in yours as well. May we experience this image of soaring even while suffering. May we experience being renewed even while expending all that we have for the sake of the mission. May we have real hope in the Lord. Well, lastly, we not only have real hope, but we offer real hope. We offer hope in a world that often feels hopeless. While I was in Korea, I was asked by many TV stations, journalists, interviewers, this one question. What's going on with all the problems in America today? Politically, economically, socially, with your church. I mean, the church is decreasing, campus access is decreasing, debt is increasing, and anger and hate are increasing. I said, what's going on? Is there any hope, Tom? Without hesitation, I said, yes. And InterVarsity is part of offering that hope. We offer real hope when we bring the gospel to every corner of every campus. We offer real hope when we courageously engage in the important conversations in our society and when we courageously confess our own shortcomings and sin as well. We offer real hope when we develop excellent books and resources which will impact the church and culture. We offer real hope when we lift up the scriptures and when we listen to what the Lord is saying through scripture. We offer real hope when we develop student leaders, leaders who are poised to bring renewal to the campus and renewal to their future vocational fields, whether it be healthcare or business, arts or academia, or law or business, law or the government. I believe that we have an amazing opportunity right now as InterVarsity. We're poised not only for growth, but we're poised to be people of hope in a campus context where there isn't much hope. We're poised to be people of hope in a world that desperately needs it. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Honor and hope. While this is a commissioning service for me as your president, I want to also invite you to consider these two words for your calling today. Honor and hope. As I'm prayed for and sent out by our staff community, how are you reminded of the honor it is to serve the Lord? The honor it is to serve in the mission of InterVarsity. What would it look like for you also to be resent today, to be commissioned, to be people offering real hope? Will you again say yes to his calling? Amen.